says that this time round I got a good report. And yes, so very happy. And just wanted to say thank you for your prayers and your support, because it honestly did help, and it did affect me, and I felt your prayers. I felt that support each day. I knew that I wasn't doing it alone. I was being backed by you guys, and so thank you. It really meant a lot. So I've put together a little movie of my life over the last 4.5 weeks. We could show that, and then I will need a cup of water as well for my thing. But while you're watching the movie, I bought you some treats. this is from my ration pack. So they give you, when you go on the field and you have to sleep in this in a hutchie, which is like sleeping under a tent fly, except half the size, you get a pack of food. And that is to be rationed out over 24 hours. And so some people decided they didn't want all of their ration pack when we got home. So I gathered up as much as I could to bring you guys a souvenir. So there's some peanuts and raisins and muesli bars. So if you want to pass those around while you're watching the movie, and take yes, but it's all good. Part of experiencing military life, and these are my shiny boots, but yes, I'm trying to work on the shine. Okay, so let's watch this. Good. I can honestly say I had fun, which is crazy, but no, it's good. Thank you. Awesome. Well, I think while I was away, I obviously I learned a whole lot, but there was something about having to adapt and having to, I guess, face change. And I thought it would be cool this morning just to talk about the three key things I learned when it comes to handling change, because what I noticed in myself and those around me is that often we don't handle change well. And whether that's a big change in our life circumstance or whether it's a change that just happens in a moment that we've just got to quickly actually deal with or adjust to, that there's actually a way to handle change in life that can actually affect your future. So that's what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning, and I hope it's practical, and I hope we learn some things together. So I just want to pray before we get into the word. Father, I thank you that every adventure you take us on is always a way that you want us to grow and to learn and to discover more about ourselves and more about you. And I just pray as I share some stories this morning and open your word that people would go away with being encouraged, but also having some practical tools to help them face change in their own personal lives. Pray your Holy Spirit would be on this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start by reading to you from Luke chapter 8, where Jesus is he's faced with a change in circumstances, and it's actually like a whole series. But I just want to start with from verse 40 of Luke chapter 8. When Jesus returned to Galilee, the crowds were overjoyed, for they had been waiting for him to arrive. Kind of like you guys, eh, and me, just being overjoyed, waiting for me to arrive. Just then, a man named Jairus, the leader of the local Jewish congregation, fell before Jesus' feet. He desperately begged him to come and help heal his 12-year-old daughter, his only child, because she was at the point of death. Jesus started to go with him to his home to see her, but a large crowd surrounded him. You know, in life we have these situations where we go, okay, this is where I'm heading. This is the direction I'm going in. This is where I feel like I'm meant to be right now. And something happens and things change. And we have to make decisions in that moment. How are we going to handle that change? How are we going to make the decisions for the next step? And the thing with Jesus in that moment is that there's a whole lot of context here, and often there is with our life circumstances, and there is like a bigger picture involved. And this situation, he's returned to Galilee, but right before he's returned, he's actually been on this trip with his disciples, and they've been dealing with crowds for a long time together now. And I think what had happened is Jesus was like, guys, I think maybe we need a break. Maybe we need to just have some rest time. And he'd said to them, we're going to go to the other side of the lake. This is just slightly, maybe a few days before this incident with the crowd. And he said, we're going to get in a boat and we're going to go to the other side of the lake. And we don't know if that's what he was trying to get the disciples to do, to have a break, but I kind of think that possibly could have been the situation, because they were pretty taxed out with the demands of the crowds wanting Jesus' attention. And they'd crossed, as they were crossing to the other side of the lake, Jesus had said to them, this is where we're going, this is what's happening, and then he'd fallen asleep in the boat. And as he'd fallen asleep in the boat, there's a storm that comes, and the disciples begin to freak out, because they're like, well, Jesus said we're going here, but he's fallen asleep, and now there's the winds of change. I love the song that I chose for the picture thing, for the movie, because there is winds of change that happen in our life, and sometimes it can be frightening, it can feel overwhelming. And in that moment, it's very easy to let go of what Jesus has said to us and shift our focus to what the circumstances are now saying to us. And that's what the disciples did. That's how, in that moment, they handled change. And to be honest, that's often how I handle change. Maybe some of you find that it's like, I know Jesus has said this, but the fact is that my circumstances are saying this, and that is so overwhelming. And it's like we shift our who has authority in our life, and we go, well, I know Jesus has said this, and I do believe him that this is what he wants me to do and where he wants me to go, but the circumstances are so overwhelming that we shift and we give authority to our circumstances and let that dictate our course of action, let that dictate how we're feeling, let that dictate our decision-making process. And so the disciples are full of fear because of the winds and the waves, and they think they're going to die, and they're like, Jesus. And so he wakes up and he calms the storm, and he's like, it's all okay. You just got to trust my word. And I think when it comes to change, that's the place we need to come back to. What has God said to us? Let that be our anchor. And so then the next thing is they kind of step off the boat, and the most immediate thing that happens is this demonized man appears before them. It's like, maybe they were heading for a rest to have a chill, maybe to start a fire going on the side of the beach and put some fish on for a feed and have a brew. And here they are going, oh my goodness, like we've just gone from one change and now there's another change happening. And how do we deal with this demonized man? So this man just wasn't the average man that was having issues. He says in scripture he was completely full of demonic activity. That there was a legion inside of him, which is something like, I don't know, 6,000 equivalent to 6,000 troops. And so he had been chained by the authorities to try and restrain him because he was causing so much trouble in his township. And he would break the chains and he would just be this madman running around, and he lived in the tombs. And so now the disciples are confronted with this crazy man. And so Jesus addresses it. And he says, you know, you can come out of this man and be set free. And they were like, well, these demons were speaking to Jesus, and they were just like, can you please not send us to the abyss? They probably didn't use the word please, but and then Jesus is like, okay, you can go into a herd of pigs. And so these demons fled, and this man is transformed before their eyes, and he ends up being completely sane. He puts clothes on, and the whole town hears the testimony of this transformation. But again, the disciples are kind of going, wow, okay, we just got it. How do we deal with this change? And they're watching Jesus. How does he work with changes that are happening in the circumstances? Because sometimes life isn't fair. Sometimes you feel like, well, I just deserve a rest. I deserve to be able to just have a break. And you don't get that break, whether it's mentally or physically. And there's just something else thrown at you, another circumstance that's come blindsided you. And so just going, well, how does Jesus handle this change? And so they go from there. And it says Jesus returns to Galilee. And that's where he's got this crowd just hanging around him, just wanting him, needing him. And then there's this Jewish teacher who approaches him desperate, saying, my only child is on death's door. And there's always going to be needs in our lives. And how do we address that? How do we meet those needs when our circumstances keep changing? And he wants to. It says Jesus starts to walk towards this man's house, but he gets interrupted. And there's this woman that reaches out and touches him, and in the midst of this crowd. And Jesus stops and he says, who's touched me? And his disciples are like, what do you mean, who's touched you? There's crowds of people around you, Jesus. And he goes, no, someone's touched me. I've felt the healing power come out of me. And so this woman speaks up and says, actually, that was me. And so Jesus stops everything in that moment, and he looks at her and he engages with her. And he had to make a choice, because he was actually having needs from the crowds trying to pull on him, and he's meant to be going to Jairus' house to pray for his daughter that's about to die, but a change happens in his situation, and he has to make a choice what to do in that moment. And he chooses to prioritize this woman, which is an incredible moment for her. Because the courage it would have taken her to come. She had an issue where she was bleeding for 12 years. And she, in that culture, they women that were bleeding weren't allowed to be a part of the everyday life. If you were on your menstrual cycle, you had to sleep and do your work outside of the village during that cycle of time. Well, she had 12 years of not being able to stop bleeding. She was possibly living an isolated life. So for her to press through and have that faith to touch Jesus in that moment, and he stopped everything for her. But what happened was, as he was talking with her and saying, what you did, your faith made you well, someone came through the crowd and came up to Jesus and said, actually, Jairus's daughter has died. You don't need to come anymore. And sometimes when we make changes, with our circumstances, it affects other things going on in our life. And there is a flow-on effect. But Jesus, in that moment, even though there was a change that had happened, he knew his purpose. He knew what he was called for. And he was able to be present in that moment with that woman and it not change his purpose. And he turns to Jairus. And the very first thing he says to him is, "Don't yield to your fear." I love that he chose to say that above everything else. Like, he could have said, "Jairus, don't worry, I'm still going to come to your house with you and I'm still going to pray for your daughter." Or he could have said, "You know, Jairus, it's okay, your daughter's going to be raised." But he addressed something else. He addressed something that was starting to rise up in Jairus, and it was his fear. Because the thing is that Jesus is perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear. And that was part of his message of hope to us. And that's part of our purpose in life, is when we've got people around us in our world that change is going on for them and they don't know how to handle change. It's overwhelming, it's frightening, it's scary. We're called to be the ones to show them how to handle change without letting fear fill us. Because people are watching us. How do you handle change? When you're at work and something comes, blindsides you, and people are looking at your life, are you able to handle change in a way that fear has no hold? And that's a challenge, isn't it? And I feel challenged by that. But he says to Jairus, "Don't yield to your fear." So one of the first things that I wanted to, first key things that I learnt being away on JOLC was, when it comes to changes, that I need to prioritise. And there's three P words to help us remember this morning. But prioritise is the first one, where I go, okay, circumstances have now changed and I need to make a decision what to do. So how am I going to prioritise what's important? What should come first? And just a funny example of that was when we were at Dip Flat, which is the scenes that you saw up there with the frost on the ground and we're sleeping in our hutchies and it's freezing cold, we got told it was going to get to minus 10. I don't know if it actually did, but it was pretty, pretty cold. They said, right, in the mornings, you're going to have to wake up and you're going to need to prioritise what you do to get done, but basically it's up to you. It's going to be dark and you're not allowed to use any white light in case the enemy sees you. So they had some enemy people hanging around for our trip out there. So we had to get our cookers out and put on a hot meal for breakfast. But the thing is that actually that's not the priority. It feels like it is when you're freezing cold and you just want to get some fuel into your body. But your first priority is actually to get dressed. So you get out of your sleeping bag and you need to put your boots on, because at any stage the enemy could come. And if you haven't got your priorities right and you're busy like in your woolly socks and gloves with your balaclava on cooking a hot meal and you don't have your boots on, you don't know where your rifle is, you're not prepared. And the enemy in our life, the devil, he knows where those gaps are that he can sneak in. And so you need to make decisions, and especially when there's changes, because we can get kind of sidetracked or swamped with either the details of the moment or the big picture and go, actually no, just make one step at a time. So we would get up. So I haven't got my muesli here. I thought I had some muesli, but I'm going to cook some noodles. So this is Dean's cooker. Is it that way? Oh, thank you. Get some, move my boots out of the way. That's a good priority. So in the morning, we would have a sachet like this, and it would be full of muesli with dried milk powder. And then we'd have another little packet that had dried strawberry fruit in it. And so we'd like tip that in, and that would be, and then we'd basically just rip the top off and pour the hot water into here and stir it around, and that would be our breakfast. So we'd be sitting, so I'd get out, put my boots on, put all my warm layers back on, and then the next priority is to get your sleeping bag into your packs. We had these big tramping packs that were about this high. Shove the sleeping bag in and then repack so that at any moment I know that I'm ready to go. So while the water's boiling, I'd pack my pack, and then I'd just leave my thermo mat, which is this thin mat about that thick that we slept on at night time. So I'd leave that out, and then our hot cheese. Well, that morning that I was making my breakfast in the dark, it was the frost the night before was so thick. It was like on my hot cheese, it was like I can't even pack my hot cheese away because it wouldn't fit inside my pack with the frost on it. So I had to figure out how to get that off. But anyway, I was making my breakfast after I packed all my things, and there was a guy next to me, and he wasn't there doing his breakfast. And so anyway, after I'd just about finished, he comes over, and I was like, you're not going to have time to make breakfast. And he goes, I know, I've been helping out other people pack their hot cheese down. I was like, you need to do your own stuff first. And he's like, yeah, but I thought that I should be helping other people. And I think often when we're under stress and we're under pressure, we can so easily just slip into doing things that we think are good. And it must have been hard for Jesus in that moment, going, well, I've got this need at Jairus' house, but then this woman's needing healing, and then there's other people around, and then my disciples are just probably needing a break, and you know, there's all these needs, and going in the midst of changes happening around you, how do you prioritize? And we got trained while we were away that you have to do your own stuff first. And for some people it goes against the grain, because you go, well, isn't it good to help out your teammates and help other people? But actually, if the enemy was to come, he would still have all his stuff there. He would have had to grab his rifle and engage in the gunfight, but have left stuff that could potentially, you know, cause problems later down the track. And that's the thing, when we don't prioritize, it has flow-on effect. And what ended up happening was he left his rifle at one end of his hutchie and went to start making his breakfast, and a lieutenant walked past and grabbed his rifle, and he ended up on a warning because you're not allowed to be within outside one meter of your rifle at all times. But then the other flow-on effect was that he was so grumpy for the rest of the day, and he just kept talking about how unfair it was that because we only had 1 hour sleep that night, because we were, the way they did the roster, we were on sentry duty, and we were meant to have a rest time, and we did get our rest time, but it was only, I think, yeah, an hour and a half, because during our next rest time we got called because a vehicle had turned up with some IED bombs in it, and we had to, yeah, deal with that. But what I think the issue was that his attitude affected everyone else around him, and it left us with low morale, and he was really verbal about it, and it was just a decision to help other people rather than doing his own stuff. The second thing is that I learned when change is happening is being present. How do you be present in the moment when it's like there's all these things that you've got to think about? You're thinking about the future. You're thinking about, okay, I've got to get this done, this done, this done, and it's going to affect this person, and I don't know if I've got the skills or the abilities to do this, or there's all these things racing through your head. There's something that is, wrong way. If you can learn that skill of how to remain present in the moment and engaged in the moment when you're going through change, it is actually an incredible skill to learn. And when I say that, it's an example is we were lined up in our ranks and standing at attention, and the person who was in charge for the day said, right, I need you to number off because I've got a feeling we're not all present. Someone's missing. So we we started numbering off to make sure that everybody was there, and then the numbers stopped, and there's meant to be 29 of us, and it got up to number 17, and there's just this silence, and I'm just standing there like, staring off into the distance, and someone nudges me and it's like, Helen, you're number 18, like, call it out. I was like, what? And they said, yell out 18. I was like, 18. And it was like, I was present, but I wasn't present. I was just, I don't know, I was thinking about something else, and I was thinking about the next thing that I was meant to do and what I needed in my pack or whatever it was. I have no idea. But often we can be like that, can't we? We can actually be present in a situation but not be present. And it's such a thing that Jesus, I think, went, you know what? I know I need to go to see Jairus. I know that that's where I'm called to go. That's my purpose. But actually, I need to be present right here with this woman. That's where I need to be engaging right now. And he was modeling that to the disciples, that sometimes we need to let go of what we think and the importance of, okay, we've got to get this achieved, and go, well, actually, things have changed. So how do I adapt to that? How do I change that? Change my thinking around that? You know, I was in an exercise, and it's called the longest day in training, and they get us up before 5, and then it's pretty much physical exercise until 8:30 at night. And I got to sit down for 5 minutes that whole day. And my muscles get so lost them. So one of the things that they got us to do was to go into the swimming pool and build a tent underwater. So they said, right, all the poles are at the bottom of the pool, at the deep end, and all the what do you call those things where you put the poles together? All the connectors were in a bag, tied at the bottom of the pool. So we had to pull them all up and then figure out how to construct this thing. So we ended up like treading water for 40 minutes, and I felt like I needed to stop leading because I'd been kind of in charge a lot that day, and I needed to show the instructors that I was a good team player as well. So I put this young guy in charge, but what I found was that after I put him in charge, I kind of just disengaged a bit and felt like I was just doing my best to tread water and get through. their exercise. Oh. And so I'm such a good cook, hey? My kids really missed my cooking while I was away. Yeah. So there was this moment where I was just like, you know what, I feel like I'm disengaged here. I'm not actively participating. I'm not in the moment, and I need to be. And even though this is not necessarily something that I'm running, I need to show that I'm present. And so I said to the young guy that I put in charge, I said, hey, what do you need me to do? And he said, could you get some more poles off the bottom of the pool? I'm like, sure. So I was able to engage, and I thought, you know what, there's something about sometimes making that choice. I don't want to be in this moment. I don't like this change. But going, well, okay, asking yourself the question, how can I be engaged? What is it you're requiring of me, God, in this moment to be present? And the third thing that I learnt and this whole how do I work with change is the whole thing of purpose. Because at the end of the day, if you know your purpose, that is what is going to get you through the change. Whether it's a painful change or an unexpected change, a change in your relationship with somebody or a change in your work, a change in circumstances, if you know that you have purpose, if you have a sense of where you're going and a direction and a meaning, that will ultimately hold you and strengthen you and guide you through whatever change you're facing. And a lot of you know, I didn't want to go back to Jowick. I felt it was completely unfair that I was asked to do that whole thing again. But I had to face the fact that at the end of the day, this is my purpose. It's to bring the good news, to bring the hope of Jesus to the people in the military. And that is what got me through. Not just the longest day, but every day of training. Because I was like, I just know what I'm called to do. And Jesus, no matter what change was thrown at him and his circumstances, the disciples every time watched him adapt to change, but he knew his purpose. He knew his purpose was to say, Jairus, don't fold to your fear. His purpose was to lay hands on people and see them healed and recovered. His purpose was to bring words of hope and life to people that had lost direction and purpose for their life, that didn't know where they were going. And so every time a change would happen, he would come back. It would center him. It would be the reason he could move forward. I think we need to be people that look at Jesus' life and learn from it. And so people can look at our lives and go, wow, I'm amazed at how you handle change in your life. You seem to walk through change and not let it rattle you, not let it affect you. And it is still a challenge for me, but I feel like God's really showing me how do I prioritize, how do I be present, and how do I know my purpose. And so I know changes are coming for me in the future, for our family, but I know that I can look at Jesus and that He gives us a sense of what's possible. That if he can go, this is where we're heading, to the other side of the lake, and then fall asleep, it's actually possible to fall asleep in a storm. It's actually possible to face the winds of change and be at peace. even though that seems contradictory, it's like actually possible. Everything he did, he modeled to us that it's possible for us to have that in our lives, that we actually can face change and be okay. We can get through it. Doesn't have to completely throw us and stop us in our tracks. We're able, he's given us the tools and the ability and the to get through it. Which is so encouraging, isn't it? So good. Can I pray for you? I wipe the crumbs off my Bible. Father, I thank you for your stories that have been left to us. How the disciples watched you. Every time that you came across a situation that was out of the blue and probably would have rattled and affected so many in a negative way, God, you showed us how. You showed us how to move forward and do it in a way that fear didn't take a grip of us. Do it in a way that we could have peace and rest through a storm. I just pray for every person here, Lord, that is in a situation where change is happening and maybe they've just been unsure of how to handle that change. I pray today, God, that you would show them, Father, how they can prioritize. Show them how they can be present and how they can go back to knowing their purpose. Let's pray a blessing on each person here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does anyone want my chicken noodles? The kids. Awesome. Well, you have a great Sunday afternoon. I am off to Palmerston North tomorrow for a chaplain's conference. It's going to be a little bit different from the last 4.5 weeks. We're going abseiling and caving and on a brewery tour to do beer tasting. Don't even like beer. But anyway, that's what chaplains do when they're in training. But I will be back next Sunday, so it'll be great to catch up with you all next week, and yeah, have a great afternoon.
Have a really great week. Just a reminder that there is some baking goods over on the table there, so if you want to do that, and there is also one box left now to give away, so if you do have any takers on that, somebody that they go, yeah, I really, there's a family that I know that really need help. Anybody? Okay, all right, have a think about that. I know that God will have an idea about that, but yeah. And there is a worship team meeting up in the loft for a few minutes up there, so we'll see you there very shortly.